Kibbutz Kever is an Einish. I don't really know much, except that something happens to the body in the grave soon after the burial. It's brought down in Svarim that Kibbutz Kever is supposed to be extremely painful, but anybody who's Levi is Shabbos after Chatzais, is Kvura, Erev Shabbos after Chatzais, does not get Kibbutz Kever. So whatever it is, it's not so enjoyable. Okay, we are beginning with Masechta Saita. To put Saita in the proper context, and again, to do an introduction to Masechta Saita would take a long time, but I'll make a very short introduction to Masechta Saita. A woman that's Mezana while she's an Eishes Ish becomes usher to her husband, becomes usher to the man she lived with, meaning again, she's Chayiv Misa, but Chayiv Misa is only if there's Edim and Hasra. If a woman's Mezana and there are witnesses, and there's no Hasra, she doesn't get killed. But she can't stay married to her husband. He cannot forgive her, so to speak. And she cannot marry the adulterer. And she's banned for Truma if she's a Bas Kayin. And she goes back home, she has no children. She's banned from Truma for the rest of her life. And she can't marry a Kayin. She's a Saita. That's if we know a woman was Mezana. Masechta Saita deals with that, but also deals with what we commonly call a Saita. Really, Saita means a woman that was Mezana. What we call Saita in our vernacular, usually, is a suffix Saita. We don't know what happened. So the Torah has a prescription of what happens in that case, only in certain circumstances. And the Torah says, the husband warns his wife not to be alone in a room with Pliny, not to have Yichud with Pliny. Right? Not that she had Yichud, only she was warned not to have Yichud. And then she had Yichud with Pliny. So at that point, given the fact that she was warned and she ignored the warning, that rings alarm bells. It raises red flags. And the Torah bans her from her husband at that point. And if her husband were to divorce her at that point, she cannot marry the alleged adulterer. We don't know if she committed adultery or not. We have no proof that she committed adultery. We have strong suspicion. She had been warned to stay away from Pliny. She went alone in a room with Pliny after she was warned not to. So that sets off enough red flags that the Torah says from now on she's usher to her husband and to the alleged adulterer. And if she's a Bas Kayin, or let's say her husband dies, she can never marry a Kayin. She is forbidden to Kahuna at this point. But here the Torah gave an out. The Torah said there's a parsha of drinking Saita pop, Saita water, which exactly how it's done we will learn in this Masechta. And if she drinks it and survives, that means she didn't commit adultery and she becomes permissible to her husband. And if he divorces her or dies, she's permissible to the alleged adulterer because we know she did not commit adultery. And if she's an Eishes Kayin or a Bas Kayin, she can eat Truma. She's not a Zayna. But that this drinking the Saita water is only after he warned her. She went privately into a room, and we don't know what happened. Then the Torah prescribed this way to be matter her. Let me explain. She becomes usher at that point. The Saita water is not to punish her. It's to exonerate her. Unfortunately for her, if it's not exonerating her, it kills her. It goes one way or the other. But it's not, the purpose of Saita water is not to punish. Either the husband or the wife can refuse to drink the Saita water. The husband can refuse to take her, the wife can refuse to drink it, but then they can't stay married. Then the marriage is over. And she's offered to her husband, she's offered to the alleged adulterer, she can never eat truma, she's a suffering Saita. That's the halacha. So we have to look at Saita water in the perspective of not punishing her, but as a means of exoneration. If they want to stay married, this is what they have to do in order to stay married. If either of the two doesn't want to go through with it, that's fine. There's different halachas. If he refuses, if she refuses, all to be seen in this Masechta. But if either of the two refuses, that's fine. We don't force her to drink Saita water. It's only if he wants her to and she wants to. So the only thing is, she's usher at this point. The fact that she was warned and went privately into a room makes her usher. She is now usher. Now that she's usher, There's a way to get her mutter again. She doesn't have to use it. She can remain usher. She can get divorced. Or if her husband dies, she's automatically usher to the alleged adulterer because there's no way to exonerate her anymore. So we have to look at the right to drinking as a means of exonerating, not as a means of punishment. However, if she is guilty, this right to water will kill her. Now, the Gemara goes through all kinds of different cases, whether this right to water works, whether this right to water doesn't work, what to do. All that will be discussed in detail as we go along. This is the general approach to the halacha of saita. But really, saita means a woman that was mezana, definitely mezana. And she's asked to her husband, and she's a saita, and she's asked to marry the adulterer. That's saita. What we usually discuss when we call saita is we call it, saita means a suffix saita. We don't know if she was mezana or not. Now, if there's an eid echad that tells us she was mezana, usually an eid echad is not believed, but after warning and going privately into a room, the eid echad is believed to say there was nus, and that's considered a vadai saita. Not to kill her, but no longer will she drink. She becomes asit to her husband permanently, to the adulterer, because now we know she committed adultery. By what aid? But the aid came after red flags, and that's enough to ask her to the adulterer, and she's a sign that she can never eat truma. Doctor's been raising his hand for the last 4 minutes. Yes?
God bless you, 4 minutes. I was just going to say, since you were earlier speaking homiletically, it's also worth pointing out here, that of all corpus, well, 6 verses, 13 minutes, there is only 1 minute for the entire Torah, which is dependent on miracle.
That is true.
This is how important Shalom Bias is.
Right. The Gemara says it. It's a Gemara. Yes.
If the eight saw the act,
if the eight saw the act, then he's believed, and she becomes a definite saita. Again, the act. Yes.
So how do we establish ichud?
This is this Mishnah. This is mamash, the introduction to this Mishnah.
So what causes a man to be cunning?
That also we will see. All this, the Gemara will fill in the details. Stay tuned. Now, saita is only 48 blot. I know people like to call it 49 blot, but it's not. It's only 48 blot. And the second, the last 17 blot of saita have nothing to do with saita. So really, saita is about 30 blot.
Yeah, but we say all the time, like by a regular kiddushin, people did not see the act, and that's fine.
I have no idea.
Adam.
That's because they went in L'shem Bia. We don't have to see the act track.
Okay, Mashin came by the...
Here, how do you know why they went into a room? You know what happened? It's an illegal act, remember that. There by Kedushin, it's a legal marriage.
But the lumpness is all the same.
No, it's not the same.
I don't know.
People do mitzvahs, and they do right things, and they hesitate... And they think twice before they do the wrong thing.
Here are the things she was told not to go in.
I understand. That's why she's a suffix saita. I got it. If she weren't told not to go in, if a woman has yichud with somebody, we don't ban her to her husband, we'd have a lot of trouble. It's only because of kinui and stira. Yes?
I was just saying, verse 49, you chattered over on the last hit.
Okay. Look, the Mishnah. I'm a kind of...
Can I ask you a question, Rebbe?
Sure.
Rebbe, if one aide goes in and sees her, not the act, what happens if one aide just, shouldn't she drink?
If he doesn't see the act, then he didn't... Well, did he see that there was no act? I mean, if an aide's in the room, he can testify what happened, right?
I'm saying, but if the aide, one aide sees her go in...
If we know she didn't commit adultery, there's no reason to drink.
We don't know. We don't know.
We
know that
she
was warned, and one aide saw... What's that? There's one aide says they went in.
Again, we're not talking about... Hold a second. We'll talk about how many aidim we need for them going in a moment, when we learn the Mishnah. I said, if an aide echad testifies that she committed the act, he saw the act.
Right.
Then he's believed. That's all I said. I did not talk about what we need to establish that they went into a room.
Okay. So in short, a sota is a zon. Is the Zona a sota, basically? It literally, but
the Zayin is a much more encompassing term. We paskin the Zayin is anybody that lived with a man that she wasn't allowed to marry. A man lives with his sister. She's not a Saita, but she's a Zayin.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Saita is a form of Zayin because it's an Erva, it's Eishes Ish. So that's one of the Zaynas. But Zayin is an encompassing term, encompasses much more than just an Eishes Ish.
An unmarried woman
cannot
be a
Saita. No, she cannot. But she can be a Zayna if she lives with one of the Ervas. Look to Mishnah. Hamekane l'ishtai. Somebody who warns his wife. Rabbi Eliezer, I'm a Mekane l'apishnayim. There has to be two Adam that hurt him more than her. Umashka pi Eidechad. However, for going private into a room, an Eidechad believes. If an Eidechad comes and tells the hubby, listen, Mr. Hubby, your wife was privately in a room with so-and-so. You know, remember you warned her not to go in, and I saw her go in with the guy in the room. That's enough to ban the wife to the husband till she drinks. That's enough to create what we call a suffix saita. I have piatsamite. Or he himself saw the man go in alone with his wife. There's no aide. Him. Usually he's not an aide. He's a litigant here. He's the husband. Doesn't make a difference. At that point, she has to drink. If not, she's ushered to her husband permanently. She is a suffix saita. She has to be exonerated in order to be able to stay married. Rabbi Shuaimer, which is the way we paskim, Mekanala Pishnayim or Mashka Pishnayim. You need two Adam to hear the warning. You also need two Adam to see the stira. Meaning, you need two Adam to testify she was alone in the room with the guy. If one A testifies, or the guy, well, I'll see that in a second. If one A testifies, he's not believed. Not believed. Eidechad's not Neman. He's not believed. To usher the woman to her husband, you need two Adam to tell us that he warned her. And two Adam to tell us that she went alone in the room. Now, there's a Shailim of Yerushalayim. What if he saw her go alone in the room? What does Rabbi Yeshua say there? Is that enough or not enough? Because of he knows she went alone. What is the purpose of the two Adam? To establish the fact? Or is there halacha you need Adas here? Simply put, you would say if he saw her, it's as good as two Adam. Rabbi Yeshua does not comment. He just says one aid's not believed. You need two aid him. But what if the husband saw it himself, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say.
Or if he's one of the aid him, maybe he has somebody else with him.
Doesn't make a difference. Again, he's not an aid. Okay. He's believed he's not an aid. Kate said McConnell. Look, Rashi. Let's catch up with Rashi. Look, Rashi, McConnell Lishtai. Look, Rashi listed the Kronokot. The word kinoi is the word of the pasuk, v'kinei es ishtai. When the kama mefarish my lashon kinoi, the Gemara will explain what the source, what is the root of that word in lashon kodesh, kinoi. Masnitza mefarish.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Rabbi, is the ability of the husband, according to Rabbi Eliezer, his ability to testify himself alone as the one witness, is that a chiddush? Do we ever have that the litigant or the interested party is able to be an aide?
See, he doesn't have to be an aide. Because if a person knows that his wife committed adultery, it's a fact. He doesn't need an aide if he knows. Aide is to tell us what happens.
That's what I mean. So actually, he's not really testifying as an aide. He's testifying just as a litigant. Then.
He's not testifying.
And
the fact.
Well, No. When he has to establish the predicate for her to drink, it's established by two witnesses that saw him give a warning, and his testimony that he saw her secluded. So he is. I'm talking about the testimony itself.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's not really, okay, you can call it testimony. I wouldn't call it testimony. I would call it, as far as he's concerned, it's a fact. Let me explain this.
But I'm looking at it from the Sanhedrin's, point of view.
I understand what you're saying, and let's step back for a second. forget about drinking. The minute he knows she went alone in a room with the woman, she becomes bad to him. Because the red flags that he warned her and that she went in alone afterwards is enough to ban a woman to her husband. That fact becomes established not through testimony, but through knowledge. Now, the question now becomes, is heter to drink? To get you to drink. So there's halachas. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying that for that, you don't need a regular aid that you would need by Davar Sheba'erva. By Davar Sheba'erva, you would need two aidim usually. But over here, Rabbi Eliezer holds, since he warned her in front of two aidim, to establish this fact that she becomes banned to her husband and has to drink can be done by one aid or by the husband himself. Now, you're right. The husband is acting as an aide as far as her drinking is concerned. Yes, that is true. But as far as her concerned, you don't need him as an aide. Let's say a person never warned his wife. He sees her committing adultery. He can't live with her anymore.
He can't kill her either.
We're not killing anybody here. There's no question of killing a woman here. We're not killing this woman. This woman will live to 120, and she can't get mafti'ain, I know. But whatever it is, she lives to 120, she can run a chalabek. I really don't care about what she does. How can he kill her? He's not a bezin, he's not an edim, he's not a straw. He's saying a different thing, Harvey. He's saying when he goes to bezin and says, my wife needs a drink, it's based on his testimony. That is true.
And then my question was, is that a chiddush? Do we have other situations that can result in this kind of punishment or actions by the Sanhedrin where we rely only on the...
We're not viewing it as a punishment. We're viewing it as a way to exonerate her.
I'm sorry, the revelation. The revelation by the soda, I was asking only... I was just a little lost when you said it's not a matter of testimony, it's a matter of knowledge. I'm just looking at it from the point of view that if you are sitting on the Sanhedrin, what kind of things do you require to establish the predicate act necessary for the next thing you decide? Is that a chiddush that we just rely on one? Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes, Rabbi Schatz.
Were she not to drink, she would lose her
chula
based on his faith.
Correct. We're not talking money now.
But
it depends if she refuses or he refuses. I said that will get involved. I said that before, that money we'll talk later. At this point, we're not talking money. Right. Yes, doctor.
Maybe this is...
There is not a legal obligation to drink. That has to be established by Aiden.
No. There's never a legal obligation to drink.
I'm aware of that. That's exactly what I'm saying. This is not a legal obligation. The question here is whether or not she is eligible for bdika by the social.
Correct. I stressed that at the beginning, that we have to view the drinking not as a punishment, but as a means of exonerating.
And, so therefore the question of the two Adams is alien central.
Again, all this is the sukkim. We'll learn it later on. We're not making any of these decisions logically.
No, I'm aware of that.
Yes. Yes.
Is there at any point, I think I'm jumping ahead, Asra, real Asra, like we normally have by someone?
Whoa, warning her not to go into a room. What do you consider that?
And you have to tell the class if you do go into the room.
No, you don't have to explain yourself, no. No.
And the Adam, too, they also don't have to give Asra.
Adam are just watching. They're not involved.
Normally, when a person does an
Avera, you're not. This wrong. Is not an Avera. The Avera itself is an Avera, don't get me wrong. But the Avera of Yichud does not have these consequences. It's only because he's suspicious of her. Why is he warning her? There's a guy who'll go home every morning and say, today, we're not going to let you go meet this guy. Obviously, there's a suspicion here. Whether it's a healthy suspicion or an unhealthy suspicion, the Gemara will deal with. But it's a suspicion, right? We might need to send him to a psychologist to figure out why he doesn't trust his wife. That we'll talk about. We haven't gotten there yet. We just started the Masechta. So there's no hasra here. He's suspicious of his wife. because this is, I really would like to do more, but a lot of these things are covered in the Gemara. A guy is suspicious of his wife. Because he's suspicious of his wife, he warns her, I don't trust you with this guy. Stay away. Do not go privately in a room with him. That's what he did because he's suspicious. That creates a reality. Unfortunately, words here create a reality. If she goes privately in the room, she becomes acid to him. Now, we have to know that. How do we know that? Rabbi Eliezer says, you don't need two witnesses to tell us that. The fact that she was warned allows one witness to tell us that. Based on psukim, by the way, none of this is logic. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you need two witnesses to tell us if she was privately in a room. We don't know what happened. But she was. Two witnesses have to tell us she was privately in the room.
So it was a better test for Hamas and Hanukkah is to be suspicious.
No, it's a warning.
It's still a warning.
It's because if you're suspicious in your mind, you can be suspicious all your life. Doesn't mean anything. Hanukkah is you acted on your suspicion and you warned her.
One other question. Was it common that he wouldn't give her a get? This is like a further punishment? Was it common that they didn't... Did the man often not give a get, like just to further punishment? Or is it automatic? Or after they couldn't live together, he doesn't have to divorce. He can really torture her and not give her a get.
I mean, we're not talking now 2024 or 2018 when people torture their wives.
I'm just curious, what was it?
He's mechuyev. He can't live with her, so the normal thing is to divorce her. Now, what happens if he doesn't want to divorce her until she pays him $175,000? So that's, you have to call in whatever way they deal with it today, or they can't deal with it today, or how they deal with it, no doubt was in those days too. I mean, that's not part of our halacha here. We're not interested here in if the man is not he wants to torture his wife. Happens all the time. We have husbands who have to get divorced for whatever reason. They don't get along with their wife, and it's time for divorce, and the husband tortures her by not giving her a get. So, you know, that's human non-menschlichkeit. But that's nothing to do with this. At this point, he's ushered to her. This can be resolved three ways. Really, four ways. He can die, she can die, they can get divorced, or they can go drink sight water. Those are the four ways. Barring any of those four ways, they just remain usher to each other. They can't live in the same house. They are separated halachically because they're not allowed to be together. Now, what does he do when he's not allowed to be together with his wife? I don't know. He has a choice. He can die or he can give her a divorce. What does he want to do? I would assume he would like to give her a divorce. What else is he supposed to do? Now, you're asking, what if he's not a mensch and he wants to torture her? That's a private business. The Mishnah doesn't get involved in that. Yes? Maybe yes, maybe not.
Why not?
It could be. Again, whatever way they deal with a get, in the time or any time he has to give her a get. Whatever kriya and get is machlokes yishayin, whether kriya means b'maka or kriya means b'dvara, whatever it is, that's sugya and get. Yes. I think we're not learning saita now. Yes.
Why would he force her to...
No, we're not forcing her to drink. Never force her to drink.
That's what he meant.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
You would have to take suva. Okay, let's move on. Mekadam trashi, matisim, mekadam la'im, la'im, tishli, mishkoini. Don't go privately with this man. Mekadam la'im, bishnai, mebolash, kreis, if he comes to give it to drink. Tzorach la'im, bishnei, eitim. So amr la'im, bishnei, maltisli, imai. Comes to Bezen. As Harvey pointed out, he comes to the Sanhedrin. He comes up there to Yerushalayim. He has to bring two Edom that say he warned her, don't go privately with that room. He didn't. Yehud by itself would not answer her. And he's not eligible for the drinking. Meaning the drinking is not trapped. Every time a guy gets suspicious for his wife, he says, let's go drink some cider water. No, it doesn't work that way. It's only when it's halachically allowed. There are no Edom that she went in privately. Either one Ed or he himself says, I saw she went in privately. She drinks. We learn now from Sukkim that until she drinks, she becomes usher. Rabbi Shuaimer, Tzarech Beis Edom Afkis Terasa, we need to aid him even for the act that you tell us that you went in privately.
Rabbi said this only applies to Bez Negadol.
They're the ones that give it a drink up in Yerushalayim. The drinking is not in Yerushalayim. Well, they can go to this Bez and then establish the fact and then go to the city. What does the warning need? Amar Lam Bifnei Shnayim, they change Aymer to Amar, and there's a reason for that. We will see in the Gemara. Amar Lam Bifnei Shnayim, he said in front of two people, Al Tadabri Yemishwaini. What if he said to her, don't talk to this person? Vidibri Yemayin, she talked to him. Adayin him Bataris Labesa, Bataris Lacha Batuma. That's not Snira. That's not an adequate warning. Don't talk is not a warning. Right? And she only talked to him. There's no Isser to talk to the man. I know it's not nice, but that's not going to ask her to her husband. She doesn't become a suffix zayna because she talked to the person her husband doesn't want her to talk to. However, nichna se'ima lebeis ha'seiser, if she had yichud with the guy, v'shasa ima k'dei tuma, and she stayed there long enough to commit the act of znus, which the Gemara will get involved how long that is, asur lebeisa, she becomes asur to her house, means her husband, asur lechel betruma, she's also a zayna, suffix zayna, can no longer ever in her life eat truma. The mace, and if the husband dies at this point without children, she's not eligible for yibum. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, v'dibri ima shaloi b'makim seser. Adayin, he muteres, lebeisa, l'shama shimbayla, she's muter to have relationships with her husband. Muteres betruma makes us kayani. Because there was no stira. The warning is a good warning. Don't talk means obviously don't go privately. That doesn't bother the Gemara, Mishnah. What bothers the Mishnah is there's nothing wrong with talking. That's not the act of stira.
So if the Hasra was talking and the action was nistira, that's good, right?
That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Yes, the Parshim talk about it, but that's what it sounds like.
That's what it says.
Yeah, well, yes, no. Right. What? Right, that's why I translated it that way. I translated that way because that's what Rashi says. I know that. K'day Tuma, K'day Harah. Rashi just cut the time necessary. You don't even have to have a Gemar Bia. Just enough time that Machloik is what Harah is. Either touching of his organ to her private part or a little bit of penetration. So Machloik is in Bivamas, and that's the sheer of time to answer her. Asur lebeisa misafik the aminu lekabon shloisha v'nitma murim beparsha. It says three times the word nitma. V'kineh es ishta v'nitma, v'nistra v'nitma, takas isha v'nitma. Three times it says the word v'nitma. Echach asur lebao. One is to tell me that until we find out what happens, she's also to her husband. V'echach asur lebao im yamas bayla oyir gashana. She can never marry the alleged adulterer. The Yachach Asur Lutruma because she's considered a suffix zayna. The Mace Kaidim Shehishka, if he died before he gave her to drink, Vainly Banam Biskukul the Yabim, she's required to have Yibim. Chaletzis Linasa Lushuk, she needs Chalitz in order to get married. Vlaimis Havemis, and the Gemara Yalafla, the Gemara will learn that out as well. Zamti Gemara Vaita, Michti. Well, I'm sorry?
How did you die before that? She was Mr. O, just
people. Because Rashi said, Vidibri imai shaloi b'makim seiser. That was the Rashi. That's why I translated it that way. It's a shiloh. But I saw Rashi say that, so therefore I translated it that way. That the warning of don't talk is an adequate warning if she went in privately. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let us see. Tanami snut.
In private, that's not specified by the vowel.
I have no idea.
Don't talk to him.
So what Rashi seems to be learning is if a guy warns the woman, don't talk with this man, that includes don't be alone with him. Now, if she talks to him, there's nothing wrong, but if she goes alone with him, it is something wrong.
He knows that he's saying that don't be alone with him.
Inclusive.
That's inclusive, right. I don't know. I don't think an investigation, what he knows, what he doesn't know. That's what the Mishnah says. Don't think about right to Michdi Lenasi. Tanami Nazir Samik. We just finished Masechtas Nazir. We didn't, but Shav did. Now, the Mepharshim point out that even though we have a rule called Ein Seder LeMishnah, that in two Masechtas, you never can say the Rebbe taught one before he taught the other. But in the organizing of Shas, there is an order. Meaning, how he taught it, he might have taught Masechtas Saita before Masechtas Nazir. We don't know. He might have taught Masechtas Chulin before he taught Masechtas Brachas. We have no idea. But that's what the Gemara tells us, not me. But when he organized Shas, which Masechta should follow which Masechta, that was done in the order that he wanted it. So Rebbe placed Nazir before Saita. That's what Rebbe did. He might have taught Saita before he taught Nazir. That's not our point here. We don't know how he taught it. The Mishnah Gemara says, ain't stated in the Mishnah. We have no idea what he taught first, what he taught second. But after he taught it all, he went and organized it. And he organized it in a way that he wanted one Masechta to follow the next Masechta. So if Saita follows Nazir, there's got to be a connection. So what is the connection? Why does Saita have to do with anything with Nazir? That's the Gemara's kasha. Why did Rebbe place Saita after Nazir? Now, Saita belongs to Nashim, right? But why after Nazir? Zakti Gemara Michti. Tanami Nazir Salik. My Tanami the Tani Saita. Zakti Gemara Kid the Rebbe. Like Rebbe taught us in the Braisa. The Tani Rebbe Eimer. Lama Nizmacha Parshas Nazir the Parshas Saita. In the Torah it's the opposite way, by the way. Saita is first and Nazir is second. Why is Nazir right after Saita? Lama Lach Shekhar Raya Saita Bekukula. Rashi learns somebody sees the embarrassment that's done to a Saita. Because before she drinks, there's a whole bunch of things that are rather embarrassing for her. Her hair is uncovered. Her clothing is ripped. We're going to see the whole, as we learned in Gemara. You're embarrassing this woman. The woman gets embarrassed. And the reason she's getting embarrassed is, listen, she didn't behave as the Chashav Beis Yaakov girl if she ended up being a Saita. She was warned by her husband. She didn't listen. So it doesn't. So there's an embarrassing act here called becoming a Saita. And if a person watches that, Yazir Atzim Minayayin, he should learn the lesson. Stay away from wine, because wine brings to lightheadedness that can lead to inappropriate action. So it's a warning sign. You see this woman? See what happened to her? Make sure you're in control of yourself. And Yayin takes away a person's control. So Yazir Atzim Minayayin, that's why Nazir is right after Saita.
He should be.
He should, yes, Yazir. It's what it says. Frekti Gemara, the listening site of the listening Nazir. So why doesn't it go in the order of the Pasuk? In the Pasuk, site is before Nazir. And for the Gemara, I did the Tanik Subas with Tana Hamazir. We had Masechtas Subas, and part of Masechtas Subas was a person that banned his wife. So we talked about banning through making a vow. Tana Nadarim. So therefore, right away, we followed with Nadarim. Why did the Tani Nadarim, which talks about vows, Tani Nazir, but that's the dummy of the Nadarim, because the person becomes a Nazir by making a vow. And therefore, Tani Saita to the Rebbe. So then we want to fit in that Saita has something to do with Nazir. So we do it in the other order, Rashi. Dr. Rashi,
Rabbi,
can
I ask you a quick question? Yes.
Do Rashi first. Tani Nazir Kasalik. Can say there are Mishnah Saita Achadazir. Man Tana, the Tani Saita. My Tana Benazir is the Dami La Saita, the Tana Saita Basra. What is the Nazir? The Saita follows. Bikakula, Benivula, Bibaishta, in her being treated disgustingly and in embarrassing her. Shimanavla Maisa, to the Tani Masnizan, Kaisha Chevela Malamidadal. We tie a rope above her breast to keep her clothing from falling down when we rip it. Yazir Atzim and Ayayin, Shayayin Mevi, the day Kalis Reish, the Hugarimla, and that's what causes illicit behavior. What causes lightheadedness, which leads to other things, is lack of control, which wine has a good job of doing. The Listni Saita Bhadir Nazir Shkakis Michas Vashasayu, that is the way it is in the Torah. The Tana Hamadir, Periku Biksubas, Hamadir is Ishtai. It's the name of a Perik. Why did the Tari bin the Dharam turn in the Dharam Achak Subas? Why did the Tari bin the Dharam turn in Nazar Basra? Shavan Azir is Bali Day Nether. comes to a nether. But the Tani Saita Basra. Yes, Harvey.
I was just trying to clarify the connection between the Yayin and her action and the Nazir. I don't understand. Why are we saying that the woman who disobeys her husband's warnings is under the influence of Yayin? And if so, why doesn't he take the Yayin away from her? Or is it just you're just not taking things seriously, and that's what Yayin's about as well?
See, again, I don't know why. There has to, you know, anytime a woman is involved, there's a man involved, the other guy.
Right.
That comes from a lightheaded approach to life. And seriousness and lightheadedness really depends on personality and a lot of other things. But one of the things that causes lack of seriousness is wine. So it's a lesson to people, take life more seriously. And by taking away wine, it's supposed to drive home this message.
I'm just thinking that, you know, we could have said to the Torah could have said to the Nazir, not avoid grapes and wine, avoid jokes, avoid social occasions.
Because why, jokes, again, people that are inebriated are a loss of control. And bad things happen when people are not in control. Jokes don't make you lose control. Wine makes you lose control. I mean, honestly, the Tariqa says stay away from drugs. Same
or
idea.
Light social. I'm just trying to figure out what sort of force Yayin was in the woman's action.
It doesn't have to be in the woman. It's in general behavior. We're not saying this woman drank wine or this man drank wine.
Oh, I see. I understand what you were saying before, Rabbi. That's why you were talking about it takes a man and a woman. I understand.
There's the Velt asked the question here. You would think that the guy that saw Saita Bukakula doesn't have to be Yazar Asman Ayayan. He just saw what happens when you're living a lightheaded life. He's the guy that doesn't need to be warned. Why is he the guy that's Yazar Asman Ayayan? It's the people that don't see Saita that you get this lesson. So there are two schools of thought, and maybe more, there are two schools of thought of how I heard the answer to this. The Chassidim say, the same to Baal Shem Tov, that everything you see is because you have something to do with that kind of an act. The Baal Shem Tov once saw Chol Shabbos, and it bothered him to no end, why is he seeing Chol Shabbos? And he was investigated, what does he did wrong that has a connection to Shabbos that would cause him to have to see Chol Shabbos? Now, we don't live in that madrega. But it shows that if you're exposed to something, not willingly, you walked into the Beit HaMikdash, and there was Mrs. Saita, there's a message. You need to help. You need to take care of something that's connected with, not you're a bad person, nothing wrong happened, but there's a message here. You're not as pure as you think you are. That's how the Chassidim learn this statement. Okay, Raya Saita Begukuloi. Why did you get to see the Saita? Why isn't your friend here? Why are you here all of a sudden in the Beit HaMikdash when they have a Saita? It doesn't happen daily. The answer is, there was a message intended for you as well. That's how the Chassidim learn. The Bali Musar learn the other way. They say that even though you see the consequences of action, knowing that actions take place cheapen it. Amalek came and attacked Klal Yisrael. He got beaten badly, but it became that you can attack Klal Yisrael. It became not as frightening as it used to be. When things happen, even if it gets punished for doing it, the bottom line is there are people out there that are being Madonna, and not everybody gets caught. That's what it does to a person. So Adarabba, the... It's not the hearer.
No, but it stimulates something in him.
It stimulates the fact that... No, it's not saying that. It's saying that when a person sees that it was done, even if he sees consequences, but it was done.
Pirate getter.
What? Pirate getter. And therefore, he needs to be extra careful. That's the other way of learning. It might be a third way of learning. Rabbi Cohen, you're safer. You can put it in the third way. I just don't know.
It's like the second thing, Rabbi, you see, being that... something happened that caused this to happen. So, or was that cause? That's what I'm saying. But if this girl, I don't know what Harvey was saying, but if this girl was drinking wine, let's say she was drinking wine. Let's say she was drinking wine. Okay, this couldn't happen to her, correct? What? Give Asura to a lady who drank wine? She's not going to be punished.
Who said that? Where'd you just get that from? You just made up a halacha and asked a question based on your made up halacha.
No, see, if my halacha is correct.
Why is it.
You're Makaner on wine?
We're not talking about a woman.
A lady who drinks wine.
That doesn't mean she's drunk. A person becomes lightheaded well before become inebriated that they don't understand what's happening. You obviously don't drink on Purim. What can I tell you? Because if you drank on Purim, you'd understand. There are sages.
I'm saying, but she'll be on a stage.
That's not what happened there. This lady didn't drink wine for all we know. It's a lesson to people to be more serious. That's all. Yes, doctor, you had a question? Yes.
This
Beis Din
is doing it publicly, right?
It's only Beis HaMikdash in Nazara.
So are the people invited to come, or who have to?
That's all going to be all discussed in the Gemara. It's all going to be in the Gemara. So that's why we're learning Gemara, so we can get there, if we can move, yes.
Actually, one of the four things that
Sanhedrin
does tell her
before
she drinks.
Right. That we did tell her that maybe when we try to persuade her to admit, we say maybe it was the jokes that caused it. Not, okay. That's the Gemara Vayitra. Hamakane, the Gemara is bothered by the word Hamakane, the one who warned. Why doesn't the Mishnah say warn? A person should warn his wife if she's suspicious. The Evidel, the Chachila, like, Sabbatana Adi Don Asa Lekanais. This is going to be a Machoikas in a block from now. Is it good to warn your wife, or is it bad to warn your wife? Is this a healthy living style, lifestyle? Or we tell you, don't warn your wife. Don't warn your wife if you're suspicious to the point that you really think she's doing something wrong. Maybe you should say goodbye to her. But don't go through this process of warning your wife. And the other man, the other says, no, it's a good thing. So it's a machlaikis. We'll deal with that machlaikis when we get there. But the fact that the Mishnah talks about it as something that happened, not as something that should happen, is telling you that the Mishnah is of the opinion we don't like this to happen. There's halachas if it happens. But that's not our way we teach people. We don't tell people, use this path. Asilikanis. Zok Drashi. L'chadchil aloi. Midaloi. Tanei Rav Elazar ima mekane adam l'shtap yishnayim. He should warn. Asilikanis. Shemevi atzmeli de tagar. Because it creates fights. That's ishtele de nivu of ili tyra. He's putting his wife through the ringer. She might not have committed a sin, and she's going to be dragged through the ringer in bed. Why? Because you were suspicious of your wife. If you can't live with your wife because you don't trust her, maybe don't be married to her. But let's not make a public scene. That's what this Mal Yamar is saying. Dr. Gamar Vaitam Ramshul Vayitzchak Yavak Pasach Rishlakish Besaitam. When Rish Lakish started learning the Masechta Sarita Amar Hachi, Eim is Avgin Loi Lahadam Isha Levim Aysof. He basically said, don't blame the woman alone. People marry the type of woman that they deserve. And if he got a woman that's a Sarita, that he's suspicious of, I mean, he ain't Mr. Clean either. If he was Mr. Clean, this wouldn't be his wife. Hashem gives a person a mate that is like him. He does not put the rulership of Rishoim on the lot of Tzadikim. Person doesn't get somebody to rule him around as a Rasha unless he deserves that Rasha. If the woman is a Rasha, or Rasha, whatever you want to call her, Rishanta is Yiddish, it's only because he ain't Mr. Clean either. That's what Rish Lakish started Masechta Saita. We're going to be learning about the woman. You should know, this woman comes with a husband. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Mizavkin Vadim Levi myself, Tznuah L'Tzadik, Brutzel L'Rasha. Kilo Yenuach Sheva Teresha Agayot Tzadikim. L'Yizdavik Mamshelos Resha B'Gayot Tzadik. The Mamshelos of Resha does not attach itself to the Gayot Tzadik. Right. Exactly. Let me just do the next line, okay? Before you. Amar Rabba Babachan, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Kashin Lazavgam Kakias Yamsov. Now, I didn't know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no word difficult, but the Gemara uses it. It's difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to find a proper mate, like it was to do Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, the Mepharshim say, by Kriyas Yamsuf, he took something that's one and made it two. And by mating, he takes two and makes them one. It's two that are not really in sync, meaning one's a man and one's a woman. They're different. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds the right match. Now, this is, the Gemara is going to ask, which I expected everybody to jump on me, what happens Abom Yoim Kaidim Yitzhiris Avlad that the Shidduch is predestined? That's going to be the Gemara's kasha, which we will get to on Monday. But the this we're talking now, for whatever reason, we're ignoring that chazal. The Gemara is, not me. The Gemara is going to ask for it. So these are not predestined. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides now this man marries this woman. So he has to find the proper mix. Now, I don't know what it means, difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Difficult is humans, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Kriyas Yamsuf means there's a change of teva. It's not natural. So marriage of two people different, that are different in male and female is that joining together is also takes as much as Kriyas Yamsuf. Don't ask me exactly the connection. I don't know. I saw once that the Zayir says, I don't learn Zayir, but I once saw that when the Gemara says in Pesachim that Parnassah is by Kriyas Yamsuf, so the Zayir says, because Kriyas Yamsuf, they didn't deserve. Said, Halaluayv Davay Nazarav, Halaluayv Davay Nazarav. And Hashem did it, even though they didn't deserve it. So it says, Parnassah is the same thing. We don't necessarily deserve our Parnassah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, even though we're not deserving of it. So maybe that's what it means here, too. I didn't see anybody say that here. In Pesachim, I saw people say it. Here, I didn't see people say it.
If so, you just contradict. The first guest
of life they deserve.
So that's
desire
on. So you've got to recognize there are actually three times when the Gemara says something creates the answer. There's Karnata, there is uniting a man and a wife, and I believe the third is the best of the health. So I've never seen anyone do that.
Best of health? Is this the Gemara?
Yeah,
I don't remember it saying that way.
Yeah, it
might not be a Gemara. It means the Gemara Pesachim. Tzai Amir, Tzai Ali Pesach. Over there, because you're dying. I don't know. Dr. Achi.
Maybe I'm making it up.
I
can I just learn to Rashi, because if not, where you then afterwards you can ask all the questions you want. Kashal Zayam Malkam Luz Avgan. That there has to be a change in the Sidrei Bereishis. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to pull two people together that weren't necessarily destined for each other, and he puts them together. Okay, the Gemara brings the pasuk. We'll leave that pasuk in Mishnah for Monday. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbat and a wonderful day. Yes?
Every day is a new day. I'm doing tshuva and tefillah. The other person's not. Everyone's. We start fresh every day.
No,
I don't know what you mean by that.
Maybe I'm continuing to.